Architecture and Construction. Ashton Court dates from before the 11th century. The house that existed on the site circa 990 may have been a largely wooden structure within a wooden enclosure. Estoun, translated as settlement by the ash tree, was first mentioned in the Domesday Book, the great survey of lands in England and the margins of Wales, completed in 1086 by order of King William the Conqueror. In the Domesday Book, it is referred to as a wealthy estate with a manor house, a great hall, and courtyards entered through gatehouses. This important Saxon manor, now known as Ashton Court, was given by William the Conqueror to his close ally Geoffrey de Montbray, Bishop of Coutances, who also had control of Bristol Castle. The fortified manor passed through the hands of successive Norman overlords, and at the end of the 14th century, when Thomas de Leon married Margaret, the wealthy widow of cloth merchant Edward Plunkett, the new wealth was used to improve the house and parkland. Most notably, Thomas obtained a royal license for emparkment, granted in 1392 by Richard II, to develop some 250 acres of a walled deer enclosure. This was largely to the north and west of the house, and created the foundation of the parkland owned by Bristol City Council today. From that time onwards, the ownership of Ashton Court is well documented. Despite its grandeur, Ashton Court is not an architectural masterpiece, but an interesting collection of styles from different eras. The arrival of a new wife at the house often brought money and a desire for change. The impressive addition which Thomas and Florence Smith made at Ashton Court was designed in a classical style imported from the continent. It was architecturally advanced for its time and demonstrates the wealth, position, and opulent lifestyle of the Smith family during the early 17th century, but also holds political and religious significance. Much later, a fortune was lavished on Ashton Court by Greville Smith when he married his cousin Emily, in order to transform the neglected manor into a splendid country house befitting the elite of society. Major Davis, a fashionable Bath architect, was given carte blanche. Anton Bantuck, in his book The Last Smiths of Ashton Court, states that Ashton Court was, quote, so totally transmogrified that what architectural virtue it did contain was swamped by the neo-Gothic fantasies of Major Davis. Sometime in the 1580s or 90s, the Smith family added the southwest wing, probably in the late Elizabethan style or possibly early 17th century Jacobean. The radical alterations to the southwest wing in the new Palladian style by 1635, made by Thomas Smith, MP, are well documented. Sir John Hugh Smith added the northwest wing in the fashionable Strawberry Hill Gothic style around the 1770s, which was later altered internally and externally. Around 1810, a new stable wing in Regency Gothic style replaced the ancient domestic buildings on the east side of the central south-facing gatehouse. It was converted in the 1885 renovations to a music and collections room, and it is possible that the return wing, now the cafe, facing the stable yard, was built at this time. Between 1805 and 1810, a new entrance porch was built onto the 16th century porch at the main west entrance, alongside extensive courtyard masonry works. In 1885, the winter garden was added with a cast iron and glass ceiling that was the subject of substantial architectural praise at the time. In the 1960s, Bristol City Council demolished the 15th century kitchens and servants' wing, another ancient part of the house but in very poor condition. It should be noted that few of these building dates are easily verified, as even dated drawings, plans, and letters don't necessarily mean the completion or even the start of a building. Definitive dates may be found from a builder's final bill or some letters which may exist in the thousands of Ashton Court records at the City Archive and the Malago Society, and could be researched if made readily accessible to future investigators. The construction materials. Ashton Court is largely built of rendered rubble with limestone dressings to windows and doorways. These are called freestones because they can be cut in both directions with saw and chisel to create a fine surface. The roofs are mainly slate with many elaborate stone chimneys. Many wall tops have embattled or decorative parapets. The wall cores are built with hard rubble stone derived locally from the estate, where several small quarries were recorded on 19th century maps. Lime renders, made from burning the local carboniferous limestone, protected and decorated these walls. From the 19th century, with the development of new technologies, ashlar stones were used in place of render. These olitic limestones came from quarries or mines around Bath, and were most probably taken by barge down the River Avon and brought to their new site at Ashton Court at Roanham Ferry. 17th century estate records refer to payment for the sawing and carriage of timber resources used for scaffolding and building, as well as for the making of the stairs and for picture framing. It is likely that suitably sized and shaped oak pollard limbs would have been selected for the architectural joinery and building work associated with the southwest wing of Ashton Court. Subsequent periodic additions and alterations to the house are also likely to have drawn on similar timber from the Parkland or Smith Estates nearby. The southeast-facing elevation is particularly long but hardly coherent other than overall building height, with principal ground floor and first floor windows at a consistent level, and small round windows at attic level. A raised central slightly projecting gatehouse is flanked on either side by polygonal stair turrets. This late medieval aspect of the house was heavily remodeled throughout the centuries, particularly in the 19th century. The towers here are built with pennant sandstone blocks, and their use here and elsewhere on the building may date to the mid to late 19th century and industrial tunneling around Bristol. To the east of the gatehouse, the 19th century building is faced with limestone ashlar with late Gothic-style four light arched glass panes within rectangular openings, subdivided by a horizontal transom and three vertical mullions with a square hood mold above. These details are like those at the Ashton Gatehouse in the grounds of Ashton Park School, and the buildings were built about the same time. The first floor windows vary in size. To the west of the medieval gatehouse is the rubble stone rendered classical wing of around 1635, with alternating segmental and triangular pediments to large sash windows, which originally would have had small leaded glass panes. These details are reminiscent of Inigo Jones' banqueting hall, and why the building was wrongly attributed to him. Most un-Jones-like is the irregular window spacing, which may reflect the earlier building, and it has been suggested the decorative parapet may also date to the earlier building. The classical frontage was described by John Hughes' friend Collinson in 1791 in the following terms. The front is in length 143 feet, and consists below of three rooms, the western one of which is a fine apartment 93 feet long and 20 feet wide, and contains several family and other portraits. The back part of the house is very ancient, and the court leading to the park westward is called Castle Court, from its having been embattled and still retaining an old gateway similar to those adopted in baronial mansions. The second court contains some of the offices, and its entrance from without is under a low doorway between two lofty turrets, one of which contains a bell and clock. The stables and corresponding offices in the front court are of ancient date. The whole contributes to a very venerable and picturesque building. The true Gothic west end of the mansion was once approached through a gatehouse into the castle court mentioned by Collinson. The 15th century hall is entered through a 16th century tower porch and leads onto the ancient refectory slash kitchen with its much repaired 15th century roof. The courtyard, facing elevations of the projecting wings to the north and south, were extensively remodeled in the early 19th century works.